Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with each and every one of you worshiping God and praising His name. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning doing exactly that. And today we're continuing our series entitled Jesus. And the last few weeks we've been doing just that. And the first week we talked about Jesus as the servant. And last week we spoke about Jesus as the sacrificial lamb, the suffering He went through. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus as the sovereign one and His sovereignty. And we're going to be celebrating Jesus's triumphant entry and the leading into Passion Week. And today's Palm Sunday. And we're going to be doing something I don't remember ever doing in my 18 years as a part of Bridge City Church. And that is handing out palms. And they're up front here, and we're going to make sure that each family leaves with a palm today. And you're like, wow, isn't that like a really religious thing? And don't people do that as a religious act? And listen, there's nothing powerful about the palms, and I'll get to that. But there's really something powerful about the message that Jesus placed on the hearts of the pastors of your church today. And I'm going to turn straight to Romans 5 and kick us off before we unpack exactly what the message is going to be about today. And as we read Romans 5, I'm going to go back a couple verses. The verse is going to pop up on the screen here, but I want to go back a few verses in Romans 5 and start in verse 6. But in verse 8, we'll read it. It says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." But in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still weak, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." For at the perfect moment, at the perfect time, just when the time was right. And you know, we have a lot of times in our life where we think, man, if I could have just got it right, if the timing would have just changed a little bit, if I could just go back in time. But we can't. And we're here right now. And I believe that it's just the right time. And we're going to talk more about that even later in the message, but right now, we're here right at this moment in this present time, and I believe God's going to move in some people's lives at just the right time, just the right moment. And as we lead into Passion Week, I'm believing that a lot of people's Easters are going to be different than they've ever been before. It's not just going to be about ham and macaroni and cheese and angel eggs. I stopped calling them deviled eggs a long time ago, but they're delicious. You know, a little smoked paprika, not regular paprika. If you're using regular paprika, you're wrong. But let's pray, because God has something planned today. Lord, I thank You for what You have planned to deliver today. Lord, I thank You for Your sovereignty. Lord, I thank You that You fully revealed Yourself to us as a Messiah, as a gentle King. Lord, I thank You that through Your surrender, You became strong. Lord, I thank You that we are now empowered to walk in an amazing expectation of Your protection, of Your provision, of Your guidance. And God, I pray that today, Palm Sunday, that it would change for so many of us. that we would understand exactly what it means, what it represents. Lord, that we would understand that at just the right time, you gave us your Son, that Romans 5, verse 8 would become real to us, that there is no greater love than you sending your Son for us to die while we were still sinners. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, as a kid, Palm Sunday was just the day we went to church, and I got to get a big branch that I knew that I was going to hit people with. And I knew that it stayed on the curio for an entire year. An entire year, and then after that year, we would burn it. And then that would become the ashes that we would use on Ash Wednesday. So it was just shy of a year. But that would become the ashes. We wouldn't go and get ashes at church. That would become the ashes that we would use. We would burn it at our own home. But for a year, that palm that I used as a sword, just a year earlier, that's what it was. That was all it was for me as a kid. I did not know what it represented. I didn't know the meaning behind it. I didn't know the importance. I didn't know that all the Gospels pointed to Palm Sunday. I didn't know that 26 out of the 89 chapters in the Gospels relate the stories of Passion Week. I didn't know that 29% of the Gospels relate to Passion Week. I didn't know the importance of this day and the days thereafter. I had no idea what this represented. All I knew was that it was a decoration that sat on the curio, which was a word that I didn't even know how to spell. It held this and the Lazy Susan, which held the olives for special events, which I put on my fingers and ate. That's all it represented. But something changed when I met Jesus, and everything became real because of relationship, not because of religion. Sunday, the triumphant entry, what we call Palm Sunday, today. Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple. There's a purity that takes place, a cleansing. Tuesday, Jesus teaches on Mount Olivet. It's almost like a connection group takes place. There's a lot of teaching on Tuesday. Lots of it. Jesus, that was a heavy teaching day. Take a lot of notes that day. Wednesday, Jesus rested. But on Wednesday, that's also the day that Judas agreed to betray him. Now, I find it so interesting that the day that Jesus knew that somebody agreed to betray him, he said, I'm at peace. I'm going to take a rest. Haters are going to hate. I'm going to let them do what they do. I'm at peace and I'm going to rest. How interesting is that? How confident is that of Jesus to say, listen, I'm going to take a rest even though I know what's going on around me. I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if we could have done that. I don't know if my boys could have done that. Thursday, the Last Supper, Jesus washes the disciples' feet at the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the last 2 weeks of our teaching. Friday, obviously, we see and we know the crucifixion. And we'll be gathering together on Good Friday to remember. Saturday, Jesus is in the grave. Now, this is one of the most interesting days. Because while we're waiting for the resurrection, Jesus is warring on our behalf. And this is where many people are in life right now. You're just waiting. You're paused. You feel stuck. You feel like everything's just going on around you and there's a waiting happening. You haven't seen what you've been hoping for. You haven't experienced what you thought you would have experienced up to this point. But Jesus is warring for you. You don't see it. You don't feel it. You might not be experiencing it. But guess what? The tomb is about to be empty. Life is about to happen and happen abundantly. You just got to wait a little bit longer, maybe. That's what the gospel's about. That's what Resurrection Sunday's about. That's what we get to celebrate next week. And guess what? When Monday hits, the tomb's still empty. The tomb's still empty. Every single day thereafter, we get to walk in the power of the resurrection. Jesus' final week is a picture of Jesus' passion for us. All the things that he went to Sunday through Sunday is a passion for us. His passion walked out for you and for me and for those who have yet to come. That's why those invitations are on your seat. They're not for you. You're already invited. You already have a seat at the table. Now it's time for you to go out into the streets, the byways and the highways. Do we even have byways? I don't even know. It just sounded right to stay at this moment. We're starting to get roundabouts. They're so confusing. Can't wait to see Pittsburgh drivers and roundabouts. The accidents are going to be legit. They're going to be Pittsburgh drivers can't even figure out yield signs. They're going to try to figure out roundabouts. Listen, on the way to the cross, we see Jesus so eloquently walk out what it means to walk out serving and how to be a servant. We see what it means to truly walk out what it means to suffer and do it in a God-honoring way. And we see his sovereignty. These are all pointing to him as king. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 2. Let's read. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethage, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Jesus is getting ready. He's getting ready to make his triumphant entry. And Jesus knew that the donkey and the young colt would be there. Now, Mark and Luke's Gospels tell us that a donkey was never ridden, a small, this insignificant animal. Now, you think of Jesus and you think of what he should have ridden in to town. A donkey isn't the animal that you think of. You think of a giant Clydesdale. I have a dream one day of riding a giant Clydesdale horse. I'm going to do it. I'm talking like the big ones you see on the commercials. I just feel like that's the only horse that would not notice that I'm on its back. But you think of Jesus. And every detail of a donkey doesn't really fit a king. But Jesus knew every detail about this donkey and where it was, where it was going to be. I'm holding back because I want to use the other word for donkey, but I'm not going to. He knew every detail about the donkey. If he knows every detail about a donkey, he knows every detail about you as well. Jesus knew everything that he was choosing and why he was choosing it. Why he was planning his entry the way that he was. Let's give a little context of Matthew 21 before we read on. Jesus just came from raising Lazarus from the dead in John 12, and they were flocking. There was an unusual stir because of this big healing. And then Jesus heals a blind man on his way to Jerusalem. So there's a lot of talk. People started to talk. And when people start to talk, news starts to travel. Verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, to say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden, humble and gentle, mind, unassuming. Humble, gentle, mild, and unassuming. Jesus knew that this was all going to happen during Passover, a very deliberate time. Timing is everything. And God's timing is perfect. We think of time differently than God does. But his timing is perfect in every single way. Let's jump over to John, another one of the Gospels, chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. And it says, you can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world, for even his brothers didn't believe in him. And Jesus replied, now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go at any time. Listen, we know that Jesus was crucified during the Passover celebration, and this was very, very purposeful. The disciples were just speaking common sense here, and Jesus listened, and they said, hey, Jesus, you have a great message. You have this miracle power within you. You have all these things that you can do. Get out there and show it. Let everybody know. And Jesus said, no, now's not the right time. Jesus later goes in secret in John 7, verse 10. The theme plays out numerous times, over and over. Jesus is holding back. He knows the time will come for a big entrance into Jerusalem, but he's delaying the timing of the event. Jesus often would heal people and tell them, hey, don't tell him. Just, hey, keep this between you and me. Raised a man's daughter from the dead and said, hey, you know what? Just don't tell anyone about this. Could you imagine your daughter being raised from the dead and you got she was just sleeping. Long nap. She was so tired. Well, who was that man? Just a family friend. She woke up when he was there. Yeah, she really wanted to see him. Been a long time. Right? But it wasn't the right time. John 12, 23. Jesus replied, "Now's the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Now the time has come. For what? For him to fully reveal all of his identity. For him to fully reveal everything that he is to all, so that we could receive everything that he had for us. The time has come for him to accept the cup of suffering that we spoke about last week. So what does this application look like for us today as we celebrate and remember Palm Sunday and his triumphant entry? Jesus, as we see, was a man of timing. And just as God had a specific time for Jesus, this final grand entry into Jerusalem and his arrest and crucifixion, God has a specific time for us. Just as God had a specific time for Jesus' resurrection that we get to celebrate, God has a specific timing for everything in our lives. How many of you would like to adjust things in your lives, your timing? A high school student that wants to get out of school, an unmarried person that wants to get married, a married person that wants their marriage fixed, a person that wants healed now, a person that wants free from whatever circumstance you may be walking in. A ministry that may want to go to that next phase of ministry before the timing is right. Fill in the blank. You have your timetable. You know what you want. Timing is everything. Verse 6, Matthew 20 on, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9, and the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Save us now. Save us now, they were shouting. People, there were millions of people there to celebrate Passover. And they're shouting, huge crowds of people shouting. Imagine a parade that pales in comparison to any parade you've ever seen. We're talking bigger than the Super Bowl parade. Bigger than the Stanley Cup parade. Bigger. This would have been huge. People coming and participating and watching just to get a glimpse. This is such a contrast to Jesus' usual. Most of the time, Jesus spent his time and energy keeping people quiet. Shh. Keep this between us. His healings, the miracles, the prayers, the moments. Shh. Just keep. keep this our little between us. But now it's the opposite. He creates this huge spectacle. Why? Timing. He wanted everyone to know. He wanted everyone to know. People cut down branches and laid them down at his feet. They all cried out for a deliverer. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. But their faith was still fickle. They were worshiping and shouting because Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government, and they were mixed up. They were shouting, maybe even some of them were shouting because the person next to them was shouting. And it's easy to follow the crowd sometimes. I've been to the Super Bowl parades, and I've been standing next to some people like, you're not a fan. You just bought that jersey from the dude down the street. Not even real. But then the days later, they were screaming, crucify him. Crucify him. One day they're throwing palm branches at his feet and their cloaks on the ground. Screaming, save us now, save us now. Why? Because they had numbers. It's easy to do what the crowd's doing. A few days later, kill him. It's easy to follow the crowd. It's easy to jump in on what everybody else is doing, to be led by the world. Because all in all, they thought the king was coming and he was going to stay and he's going to be there. But once they realized, oh, they're going to kill him, I don't know if I could ride with him anymore. Let us not be those people. Let us be the people that are constantly reminded and walking in the victory, not the ebbs and flows of our feelings and emotions. They were crying out for a temporal deliverance. They were walking in an emotional response. They didn't want a savior. They wanted a temporal deliverer to remove the Roman oppression. Those who hailed him as a hero quickly turned on him. Ever been there? Oh, you're great. You're the best. You're awesome. Then you see a Facebook post knocking you down, beating you up. You see a text message that same person sent to somebody else about you not being the best. Been there, done that. Listen, emotions lie. You know who doesn't? It's not in his vocabulary. The contrasts of Palm Sunday. If Jesus would have done what the world wanted him to do, it would have been way different. Jesus, the King, as a lowly servant, rode in on a donkey, not a show horse. Not royal robes, but on clothes of poor and humble. not a conqueror by force, but of love and grace and mercy and his own sacrifice. Not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but servanthood and suffering. Jesus came not to conquer nations, but hearts and minds. His message of peace with God, not temporal reprieve of government and oppression. He doesn't give us what our minds think we need. Oh, my king would have a sick horse, not a donkey. My king has a big army around him. It's true, but it's you and me. It's us. And this is our sword. This is what we fight with. You know, I have a few years back, I got to experience a rite of passage as a pastor. And I was given a big sword. And it's engraved on there, for the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse out of Hebrews. It's like a rite of passage as a pastor. Somebody gives you a sword. It's a cool moment for me. My wife, it's a exact replica of the sword from Braveheart. It's huge. My wife is very excited for me, and at that moment, she instantly said, when everybody was gone, "You are not hanging that up in our home." Okay, babe. I took it home. It was in the closet over here because I use it as an illustration. And a couple days ago, Lennon was like, "I'm going to get my sword." I'm like, "Oh, no." I thought, I didn't know what he was going to get. And he came running down the steps with a Bible. I was like, "Oh, man. Good job, buddy." Everyone's watching what you do and how you fight. And just as we think our king should be doing certain things, there's people that think that you're supposed to be doing certain things. Shock them and do the opposite. Matthew 21, verses 10 through 11. "And then he entered Jerusalem. The whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.' All the city was moved, stirred up, and what Easter does all over the globe, still to this day. And this is what people want to know. Who is this Jesus? Who is he?" In Luke 19, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are saying, "We don't get excited like this. Tell them to stop. Ain't no rock gonna take my place." Jesus says, "Nope, I'm not gonna tell them to stop." Even though they didn't fully comprehend what they were doing. The worship team's going to start to make their way up as we start to unpack fully who Jesus is. He came closer to Jerusalem, Luke 19, 41 through 42, and he began to weep. "How I wish today that you, all of the people, would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late and peace is hidden from your eyes." Listen, there's an urgency. There's an urgency for all of us. There's an urgency for the world around us. There's an urgency to experience the peace of Jesus. And he knew that he would take over all the sin and the shame and the pain and the guilt that we've all bared, and all the sorrow and all the pain for those who trust in him. The same urgency that was then is the same urgency that is now. Understanding the significance of Palm Sunday, a big deal. Does my passion match Jesus's passion? Does my excitement and joy level match his? Am I walking in the freedom from the weight that he took on that cross? You know, the more you try sometimes, the further away you get from the cross. The more you fight, the less honor and glory you're giving to God. When you feel like you don't have time to sit at his feet, when you don't have time to give him, that's when you need to give him the most time. If you're going to truly be a Jesus follower, a follower of Jesus, you're confronted with these instructions that feel so counterintuitive sometimes. On the surface, they just don't make sense. If you want to prosper, give up everything. What? If you want life, lose it. What? Forgive those who offend you. What? Forgive those who slander you. Listen, I'm all for this counterintuitive Christianity. I'm for it. Because that's what Jesus died for. Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Jesus had to wait for his triumphant entry. He had to go through a week of some pretty hard stuff. I mean, he had that day of rest, but I don't know. When I get to heaven, I might ask, but there's no questions in heaven. You're just going to be worshiping. But hey, did you really rest that day when you knew Judas was out there betraying you? And maybe he did, because he was at such peace, because he knew the peace of God so much. Jesus had to wait. You have to wait. Let's really accept the cup of waiting and pray to know God and know who we are and accept his will. I want to go all the way back to the beginning of our message. Romans 5, verse 8. God showed his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And I'm going to ask on Palm Sunday 2024, one of the most important questions that you're ever going to answer. have you received that great love? Have you received the love of Jesus in your life? Has the passion of Jesus become your victory? Is it truly good news for you, the gospel? Has he become the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future? If he has, your seat at the table has been reserved. Can't wait to see you at the banquet in heaven. Maybe you'll get there before me, save me a seat. I like to be kind of by the kitchen. But if you haven't accepted that call to salvation, let today be your day. Let today be the day where you've accepted the greatest love that's ever been given to the world and ever will be, so that your Palm Sunday will be different. Your Passion Week will be different. Let him be the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future, and allow yourself to fully be free of the sin that has been separating you from God. If you don't have a moment where you've fully done that, I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need to reaffirm my relationship with you and know that I've received the love that you gave for us on the cross. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. The heavens rejoice. Anyone else today? Anyone at all? Don't let this moment pass. If you raised your hand, somebody's going to just walk through with you and pray and encourage you and help equip you walk forward. Make sure you leave with a Bible. If all of us can just stand to our feet, I just want to have a moment with Jesus. The palms are up here on the stage. And I want every family, and you may think I'm here by myself, I want you to get with your connection group or get with, we're one family of God. We're unified. Walk up with a friend, a brother, a sister. But as you feel ready, as you feel led, I want you to walk up and I want you to grab your palm. And you decide what you do with it. Take it home. Put it on your dining room table. Put it on your curio next to your Lazy Susan. But remember why. Remember why. Because Jesus made a triumphant entry into your life. And you want your passion to match his. So the worship team is going to continue playing. And as you feel led, your family, please come forward and grab your palm. And then Matt's going to come up and we're going to pray for our Easter invites.